Hey, this is actor Mike Vaughn, and I've made it my mission in life to get Jimmy off his Nintendo. And I won't rest until he does. But for now, you're listening to Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and gorgeous ladies of wrestling's Gremlina.
Alrighty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it is an absolute honor to welcome my old friend, podcaster, author, photographer, musician, world traveler, Wendy Fleming Dexter. How are you, Wendy?
I'm fine, Ian. Great. Thank you.
Well, it's been a long time since we've seen each other, but I keep up on all your Facebook posts, and you're busy, and you're taking photographs, and you're traveling. You got married.
I did.
Jeez, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it took him 10 years to get over his... He said he got over most of his fear of me, but I didn't want him to get over all of it.
Well, I think it's wonderful, you know. I feel like maybe when I was younger it was a thing, but I feel like maybe it's not always easy for older couples to find that right person, and that's wonderful.
That's right. It is. We're very blessed, and I said when you get to this stage of the game, we're both in our 70s, that when you don't measure your time together in decades, you're lucky to have years, so try to not take anything for granted.
Well, I mean, being that you do so many cool things, like, where did the fun start for you? Was it photography? Was it music? I know it wasn't podcasting, but where did you kind of start out with what's fun for you?
Well, for 10 years, I was married to a professional photographer, Joel Dexter, who worked for the Journal Gazette in that team. He and I divorced, but we remained friends. Joel tried to teach me about using a camera, but I had no interest in trying to learn about f-stops and apertures. I didn't have the patience for learning that. So when cell phones came along and social media, I got the opportunity to post some pictures and got a little positive feedback from people, and that kind of grew a little bit and got a small following. Still have a small following. But enjoying that a lot. It was another thing of realizing that at my age, I grew up in the country, and we just have a tendency, most people do, intercountry or not, but have a tendency to just to drive along and take for granted the everyday things that we see, so or don't see. Mm-hmm. And I decided to try to do a stop and notice those things, little things, that you can't see from the road. And so I kind of started doing my shoe views, which is I get down on my hands and knees on a piece of cardboard and take pictures on the grass when there's dew. And that gets a little bit of interest from the Amish school kids are in school across the road from me. They are always interested, and I see them all turn around looking at me when I'm down on my hands and knees. Early in the morning, sometimes in my nightgown. So I think that if I ever have a situation where I'm actually in needing help, I'll probably be out of luck, because they'll probably just think, there she goes again, you know, with her nose to the ground taking. I know they know I take pictures. Kind of progressed. Well, I met Stacy. Stacy was very supportive of me. We met 10 years ago. And met on Match.com, and so I knew he was a musician. I didn't do any kind of singing at that point, other than just with the church, a very small church choir. But he really gave me the confidence and nurtured me along with singing. He realized I could do harmony work and encouraged me to do my pictures. I began doing calendars, putting out a calendar every year, and have a website, which doesn't really generate as much as I thought it would, WendixPhotos.com, by the way. And but Stacy did encourage me and nurture me, and so that's how I got going in that direction.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's amazing the people you meet over the years, regardless of if you think they're going to be a part of your life for a long time, what you can learn from them.
That's just and that's the thing that I think, that there's just so much to learn, and every day I'm just amazed. That's why when I started writing a book, it's called Pinky the Perminator Undercover Kitty, and it was about spaying and neutering, told from the vantage point of my cat Pinky. She was a very, very special cat, and I miss her dearly, but she inspired several stories. I wrote it kind of in a hodgepodge fashion. I wasn't setting out to write a book, but I tried to knit it together as a book and self-published it. And so when I self-published the book, I hooked up with a company out of British Columbia, and figuring self-publishing, I'd never get a chance to narrate it or have an audio version, although I really desperately wanted to put my own voice to my animals. It was all about my cats and the two chocolate labs I had at the time. But I didn't think it was going to be able to happen. And lo and behold, I got the opportunity to narrate the book.
Wow.
And do it myself. And so that led to me getting in touch with a company called Autovita out of New Mexico, and they walked me through the process, and I was in my closet with blankets and all my clothes in there, and I could just, I was afraid to really move. They could hear everything, but I met just some wonderful, wonderful people, and so in the process of doing that, I found out those people also did a podcast, So Stacy had been encouraging me to do a podcast. I said, Stacy, nobody's going to want to hear what I have to say. Everybody who knows me knows I generally have an opinion about everything, and I have no problem expressing it. But I realized that really, as you know, doing a podcast is not about the host, but about the guests. And I've been very fortunate. You've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but I've been very fortunate to get some wonderful people as guests, and I have several more lined up. So
wow.
I'm just so excited to, to start something like that. And starting off, when you're 71 years old, doing something like that and not having a following, I'm no celebrity, I'm no big, I'm trying to grow an audience it's daunting.
Oh,
because,
gosh, yeah.
I know that going in, but still, Stacy and I have, it's the same kind of a thing as doing gigs. People say, oh, I'm going to be there Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're going to be there. And sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. And you pretty quickly realize, it's like people saying, oh, I would buy that picture. I'd like a framed copy. Mm-hmm. I'd copy that to frame. And then you get back with them and say, would you like to have that? They say, no, I don't have any room on my wall. It's like, okay, well, sometimes it's hard getting the support as you, I don't know if you suffer through that or not, but
people
are very willing to say, I will do that, and then they don't, so.
Yeah, it's especially, you're probably in a better shape in that aspect because it is local, you have a better chance of talking to people in person, so that's more personable. They might be more willing to do that versus like the people I try to get. It's like, I might send out 15 requests. I might hear back from three of them. And one person I heard back from recently was from 2020. I sent that request. So you really never know.
Wow. That's a little lag in time, isn't it?
Yeah. They're like, this got backtracked. I'm like, backtracked by what? Did you hit a manifest airplane? Did you go down somewhere and come back and not realize it? Like, it's been 3 years.
Well, that's, and speaking of 2020, that is when my book came out. I was, wanting to have a launch party and reached out to the local arts folks, arts council folks here in town to see if they would help support. And they said they would. And up to a week before the party, when they had done absolutely nothing, I pulled the plug and said, hey, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's all, it's your name, it's who you are in town. Some towns are a little more cliquish than others, and some around here are.
Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that...
I persevere no matter what, because, Stacy gave me my voice for somebody who has as much to say as I do. I had five brothers. I grew up west of Mount Toon with five brothers. I was the youngest. And I was not the protected, loved little princess sister at all. And when I got old enough and my parents became older, I was my mother's caregiver, and I think that was just kind of assumed to be the logical progression of my life. I was never encouraged to have a career. I had jobs, I always worked. Never had a career. I was never encouraged to get a degree and have a good job. There are many nurses in my family, and I might have met a very good nurse had somebody suggested that, but I always thought that was beyond my reach. And so, and the irony of it is after he helped me find my voice and we started singing together and doing our appearances and our gigs and then the podcast and the book, my family has not supported me at all. In fact, my one brother here in town has not really spoken to me for 2 or 3 years. So, but you know, I mean, as with the passage of time and the clarity of time and looking back and seeing, it's like, you know, I had a role. They had me do that job, and then once the parents died, they no longer had to be civil to me or have me, you know, include me in those things. So, and there's so many worse things than that, you know. I mean, Stacy lost a daughter when she was 36 years old in 2016. And so, you know, I mean, I went through a divorce and lost my mom, my dad, and my oldest brother, and a divorce in 3 years. And people say, oh, that's a lot to go through. And it is, but it's nothing like losing a child. I mean, I don't have any kids, but there can't be anything worse than that for anyone to go through.
I'm sure.
So, you know, I just feel lucky to get up and have these opportunities, and I've just had, getting started with the podcast, but I have these wonderful people out of New Mexico that I work with, and I don't know how your setup is, but with these folks, it's done in New Mexico. They do all we do is set up a laptop and talk to the guest. They do all the editing and then they send it back to me to see if there's anything I want to change or add. And they supplied the mail and voice to do the intro, and I did my own outro and got to use my own photograph for the logo and Stacy's music for the theme music, so we're very lucky to have that opportunity, and they've just been good as gold because there's so much to learn. About all the different things, and it's not like everything in this company. Not everything is in one little area. You've got this area where you put in your show notes, and then this area over here where you get it. A time for recording, and it's just all a learning experience. So I keep messing things up, but they're very patient with me. But
it's definitely a different process.
Nicest group of people you'd ever meet, and if I have a problem, I mean, all I have to do is call the CEO, and there's not very many places I've ever worked that I could talk to the CEO of a company.
No.
And they're very understanding and very encouraging, and I ask them, you know, when we've done a recording, and saying, you know, what would you change, or could I do differently, and you know, they'll help me along. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is, and it gives hope, because you know, the older you get, you know, I remember people when I'm 71. I remember people saying at my age, my relatives were such and saying, "I feel 17 inside." And it's like, I know what they mean. Now you look in the mirror and you think, "What the heck happened?" But I'm above ground. I'm still kicking. I want to learn. I wasn't interested in history or I mean, I was always interested in current events, but. You know, to keep learning, and I want to be able to do more than just, you know, I don't want to shop on QVC all day. I would just as soon be gone than to do that. It's not my thing. I want to learn and be engaged and enjoy life as much as possible and learn. That's why I focused on the first season of they did tell me at Autovita, which is the company that I record with, that I needed to have a they said, what was I interested in talking with my podcast? And I said, well, I don't know. I have so many things. And they said, well, you might want to narrow it down at least for your first season to try to get an audience. So I thought, well, I lived among the Amish at the southern end of the Amish community mm-hmm. in Arthur. And that seemed like a logical thing because there are so many things that I knew, I even living among them, that I did not know. So
yeah.
I kind of named it the myths, mysteries, and misconceptions
exactly.
about the Amish.
That was the point I was getting to, was, you know, you never can tell. If you don't talk to someone, it doesn't matter if they're Amish or English, as they call us, or white or black. If you don't know someone, you don't know how to approach them. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of not true facts that people push around about Amish, and you're getting as close to firsthand as you can get.
That's true. And every, you know, I have gone and tried. I twisted as many arms as I could. People would give me names of different people that might be willing, different Amish people that might be willing to do a segment, but I've yet to get one to do it. But I have had several that are former Amish,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they became Mennonites, and they're more than willing to share their stories. And wow. I don't want to sugarcoat it. They have their issues and problems, and
sure.
their culture has problems just like every other culture. But I want people to realize that they, at the bottom line, they are humans just like we are. They basically, I always say, they fit under the same umbrella of their belief system for their Christian belief, but within each district in the different cities, different towns, communities that they live in, it's all different. You know, some can have, like Arthur is a more liberal Amish community than many, and,
wow.
So I just learned so much when Wilbur Otto was my first guest, and he's mm-hmm. a real estate guy and businessman up in Arcola. And these people, they could talk for 2 hours, 3 hours, and it's just fascinating to me. And I have had friends that give me feedback and say, I've lived around the Amish all my life, and I'm learning things. So
yeah, that's what I loved about it.
You should accomplish, you know, if that's the case.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely, I think, you know, with that coming out of your mouth, is like one of the first things they asked you, and they're just like, yeah, I mean, they probably knew the same thing. There's got to be misconceptions, because if you see a movie, you're like, oh, we're the Amish, you're the Doherty, and that's like not, that's kind of a goofy impression, but that's not what, like, the random Amish person's like.
Right. And, when I would post pictures on Illinois Storm Community, I don't know if you're familiar with that page, mm-hmm. but I put a lot of pictures on there, and then WhatsApp Illinois, and invariably when I post a picture of a buggy or some Amish guy farming, I will get all the Amish experts in, you know, on that page telling me what I'm doing wrong, mm-hmm. or you can't take pictures, and so that was another interesting thing that I wanted to investigate. Why no pictures? And
right.
Rebecca Mabry had written a book about the Arthur Amish in 2008, and she kind of was embedded among them for quite some time, and they trusted her. Well, she did a chapter about church, and one of the things about is that they do not to pose for photos, because then it's like, oh, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard the thing about graven images, and
yes.
I've never seen anything about that since then, but they just do not want to pose. Somebody say, you know, ask if they would take their picture, and but I would always take their picture. I'll take the picture from the back, mm-hmm. or from the side, or, you know, sometimes
yes.
even pixelate if the picture's too easily
oh, yeah.
recognizable. But I try to show respect, because, you know, they've always done that to me. They've never treated me wrong as my neighbors.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Had wonderful experiences, and I just want to shine a little bit of a light without being intrusive,
oh,
but to shine a little bit of a light in their, you know, in their culture.
That's definitely a good point on that. We're about 19 minutes in already. That's crazy.
Yes, it is. Because I realize right off the bat that, you know, it's one of those things. It's like being the photographer. Many photographers don't like to be around in front of the camera.
Oh.
Well, I don't mind that, because I don't, number one, I don't really consider myself a photographer. I just take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that doing this would be a little different than being the host and asking the questions, let somebody else run with it. But I do have some interesting people that I think are going to, after we get done with the Amish season, mm-hmm. I'm going to have ask Kevin Lighty, the meteorologist at Channel 3, and Jacob Dickey. They both agreed to do segments. Oh. And I want them to talk about the differences between when, of course, they were just kids when Judy Fraser was there and Mr. Mm-hmm. Roberts, but I told Jacob Dickey, I couldn't imagine anybody going up and accosting Judy Fraser in a grocery store and belittling her because the weather forecast wasn't right, or, you know, people on social media are just mm-hmm. bold and mean.
Oh, yeah, it's better to just not look.
And it's just horrible, horrible what they will do to people that years ago, I just could never have imagined them being like that to somebody. I mentioned Illinois Storm Community, Carlos Wyant, that started those two pages. He's agreed to be on. And one of his admins on that page, her name's Patty Biggers, I want them to tell about how difficult it is. They just reached 250,000 members for their pages. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wow.
And so they have a lot to be proud about. I asked the Mayor of Arcola, I would like for him to talk about, you know, being a Mexican man in a town that's predominantly, it's got a whole large population of Mexican people in there.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel? And I think it's wonderful that in that little, you know, that town that he gets to represent, you know, a majority of the people who live there. And I mean, I don't know what the population actually is, but I think it's nice that they get to be represented with the mayor, and I'm interested to hear what he has to say.
It's amazing. I found out a while ago that Wikipedia actually breaks down demographics for stuff like that, and it's kind of interesting to find out, you know, that this place has, like, predominantly white people, African-American at this percent, Native American at this percent.
Mm. Yeah, I did not know that. I have to check that out.
Yeah, it's interesting. But another thing I wanted to cover before we get out of here, because I don't want to take too much of your time. Of course, where can people find the podcast again?
It's on, if they just put Life on the Illinois Prairie in the search engine, it should come up. It's on Red Circle where the website is but it's on iTunes, Apple, Google. So it's got, I can't remember the other ones that it's on, but I know that it's Apple and iTunes and Google. Kind of going blank here. But it is Life on the Illinois Prairie, and I think we have, for a place that has a lot of flat, landlocked miles here, we have a lot of interesting things to offer.
Definitely. I don't think a lot of people realize, it's just corn. I'm like, yeah, but look beyond it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's another one. Aikman's Wildlife, he's going to be on, and Terry Rubson that works with him, and Jim Boland down in Hazy, but I'm pretty sure he would be willing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many interesting things. You know, that realize that we sometimes overlook, and it's one of those things too for me to be able, with not having any children, to leave behind something I always felt when the older I got, and not that I regretted not having a family, because mm-hmm. it was not in my DNA to be a mother. No way. Mm-mm. But I also realized there's nothing after me. When I'm dead and gone, there'll be a headstone and that'd be it. You know, what kind of footprint would I leave?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I thought, when I did the book, you know, first I had the pictures, and then I would have a book, and it's like, I have these little podcasts. And, you know, I'll never be, you know, a big shot like that. but I will have something that I've left behind and try to enlighten people and try to share something different.
Well, I personally, I think you're going to leave a great legacy, Wendy. Everything you've talked about today is fantastic. You've definitely lived a great life. And, you know, like you said, just because we're in Central Illinois doesn't mean that it's just all cornfields and dry land.
Yeah. You know, I love to travel, but there's just like in Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. There just isn't. We were down in Southern Illinois. I love to go down to Golconda, down along the Ohio River. And we were there this past week, and came home early because of that storm, and when I realized how serious that storm was and all the damage, and the people just even today after that storm last Thursday, just now today getting the electricity, you know, man, I just seeing the comment, I made the comment myself many times over the years when my power would be out, this is no fun being Amish, you know, and it's of course, you know, for them, not having electricity is something mm-hmm. they're used to, but they also have their heat, and, you know, when I lose my power, I lose everything, lights right. and heat. When that sun goes down, you really know the sun is gone, and so, I would not trade this life for anything. As I said, I love to travel, but I think we have a lot of beautiful stories to yet be told from Central Illinois.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else you want to add before we end? Thank you so much for joining me today, Wendy. It's always nice talking with you. It's great to catch up.
Well, gosh, it is great. And I apologize for not remembering that we had actually met at Adams Grocery
That's
Store.
Right.
The little general store down a mile south of where I live. When Lola passed away, I thought it was just so sad because she was kind of part of the glue that held the town together and a meeting
yeah.
place.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, life goes on and things change and evolve, and you gotta change with the times and try to contribute what you can. So, and I appreciate you asking me. I'm just so honored that you asked me. I told Stacy, I don't know what I got to offer. I've had people tell me that on my show too, and then when they got done, they said, "Oh my gosh, that was fun." So this has been fun too. You know, thank you so much.
It was an honor. It always is. Don't think of yourself as someone who's not famous enough, because you've lived a life more than 20 famous people, I'm sure.
Well, I'm just honored and blessed to be here, and you know, every day is a gift.
Absolutely. Well, I'll wrap up the recording and I'll say goodbye to you. But thanks again for joining me, Wendy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll see you the next time. Have a great night.